Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. In the mid-1980s, I attended one of the first Hawaiian Islands Ministries conferences. Hawaiian Islands Ministries, co-founded by Dr. Dan and Pam Chun. This event was held at Central Union Church. One of the speakers in the evening plenary session was a sociologist professor from Eastern University in St. David's, Pennsylvania. His name was Dr. Tony Campolo. He delivered a message which is now a classic, entitled, If I Had It to Do Over. Like most things that have that special something, that substance that sets it apart, this message not only inspired me as a young servant of the Lord, it has touched the hearts of many around the world. I have a sense that it'll help you immensely in whatever it is you're going through today. I want to let you know, as we normally do, the reason we have the Good Life Hawaii radio show is we believe it's been given by God for us as a privilege to lead you closer and closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our hope. That's our objective, to bring you closer to Christ, even through programs like these. Today's show is a recording of Dr. Campolo's message delivered on January 1st, 2000. Dr. Campolo is a regular speaker at the annual HIM conferences. Now they're at the Hawaii Convention Center. And he has that same, well, maybe I could even say even growing deep richness and resonance, part of which is because he is in touch with the times, always integrating the challenge of living the Christ-like life according to the scriptures in the face of tough times and difficult decisions that impact us today. I'll be back with some reflections. Now, listen, enjoy, take in the speaking ministry of Dr. Tony Campolo.
I read a sociological study a while back that I thought had tremendous significance for us living in today's age. In this particular study, 50 people over the age of 95 were asked one question. If you had it to do over again, what would you do different? If you had it to do over again, what would be different about what you would do and how you would live? Now, that's a good question to ask 50 people over the age of 95. Now, that's old. I don't know many people over the age of 95. I'm getting old. I guess I'll be there before I realize it. I don't know where my life's going. I mean, it seems to me just as soon as my pimples cleared up, my hair fell out. I don't know what's happening. But 95 years of age and older, 50 of them, asked one question. If you had it to do over again, what would be different? There were a multiplicity of answers, and among the answers, three answers emerged that dominated everything. Here were the three answers that emerged over and over again from the responses. If we had it to do over again, these elderly people said, we would reflect more. If we had it to do over again, they said, we would risk more. If we had it to do over again, we would do more things that would live on after we were dead. That's fascinating. Reflect more, risk more, do more things that would live on after we were dead. To reflect more. What they mean by that is this, that if we had it to do over again, we would stop and we would think and we would consider with intensity some of the things that we took for granted on the first time through. You know, sometimes we fail to reflect, we fail to give due attention, we fail to focus on the things that are important. We fail to zero in and passionately experience those things that have ultimate significance. For instance, I'm a Christian. Being a Christian, I believe in Jesus. And I believe in what Jesus did on the cross for all of us. I think that if you're a Christian, you believe the same thing I do. That 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross. I should be punished. I mean, you wouldn't think that a nice guy like me should be punished. But that's because you don't know me very well. If you knew all there was to know about me, you would know I do deserve to be punished. I have no excuses to make. The truth of the matter is that I have sinned. And because I have sinned, I am deserving of God's punishment. And there are people here today, as nice as they are, and as sweet as you appear, who deserve God's punishment. But the good news of the Bible is this, that as you sit there saying, I deserve God's punishment, I'm here to tell you that Jesus was punished in your place. He died on the cross, he was punished in your place, and because he was punished in your place, you don't get punished. And that's good news. I think Jesus deserves a round of applause for such a thing. Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah. Before you get too carried away, let me go to point number two. Not only did he take all of our sin upon himself, are you ready for this? But he imputes to us his righteousness. The Bible says he hath imputed unto us his righteousness. Jesus has imputed unto us his righteousness. You say, what in the world does that mean? It means quite simply this. That not only does he take all the garbage from you upon himself, not only is he punished for all that you deserve to be punished for by God, but this has to be added. All the good things he ever did is ascribed to you, is ascribed to me, if we trust in him. Therefore, when they open the Campolo book someday, and they will, when they open the Campolo book, I love this, all the rotten, filthy, dirty stuff I've ever done will be blotted out, buried in the deepest sea, the scripture says, remembered no more. For Jesus not only forgives, he forgets. But add this, all the good stuff Jesus ever did will be written in its place. I mean, I can hardly wait, man. As the Father starts reading this glorious record of all the stuff that Jesus ever did that was good and beautiful and wonderful, and the Bible says that all the stuff that was written, all the books in the world could not be contained, it will all be written under the name of Tony Campolo. And as the Father reads it, I can just see him looking down and say, hey man, did you do all of this? I'm going to say, hey, it's your book. It's your book. Isn't that great? The Bible puts it in another way. When you stand before him in judgment day, you'll be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. When God looks at you, he's going to see somebody who appears to him as pure and as holy and as wonderful as his own son, Jesus Christ. That's how you're going to look to God on judgment day. Now, you've got to give him a hand for that. Now, that's correct. Now, these old people say, you know, if we had it to do over again, we would reflect more. Stuff like I just told you, you hear it over and over and over again. We never really feel the impact because we've heard it and heard it and heard it and heard it. And I'm here to say what these old people will say. Stop. Listen. Pay attention. Reflect on it. Probe it in its depths. See that there is much more there than those simple Sunday school expressions that you've learned by heart ever suggest. Reflect more. There's more to reflection than just reflecting on what Jesus has done. You need to reflect upon life itself. You know, I used to teach a course at the University of Pennsylvania called Sociologism and Existentialism. Heavy, heavy, heavy. I used to just like to name the course because it would impress people. And the course would always start with me asking a question of my students. Here's the question. How long have you lived? And they would all look at me. How long have you lived? I would insist in my nasty way. And I'd always pick on some person. You know, I always pick on people. I'd say, you there, how long have you lived? And the student would look back at me and say, 24 years? I'd say, no. That's how long your heart has been pumping blood. That's not how long you have lived. This is what I mean by living. When I was in the ninth grade, they took our class up to New York City. We're not far from New York City. And we went to the top of the Empire State Building. And we're running around and running around. You know how ninth grade kids would do, chasing, beating on each other. You know, and suddenly I caught myself. And I said, Tony, you are on top of the Empire State Building. And I went over to the rail and I looked over that city. And it became a magic moment. That moment when I sucked in the city. That moment when I stopped and reflected on what I was experiencing. That moment was lifted out of time and became part of my eternity. If I was to live a billion years, that moment will still be part of who I am and what I am. I'll carry that moment with me through all eternity. I lifted a moment out of time. It became eternal to me. I lived that moment with such intensity, with such awesome involvement, with such awesome awareness that moment was lived in a way like few moments have been lived. I was alive, fully alive that moment. Now, I would ask the student again, how long have you lived? And the student would look back at me and say, well, when you put it that way, a minute, maybe 2 minutes, because most of my life has been the meaningless passage of time between all too few moments when I was really alive. Isn't that the way it is with most of us? Life slips by and we don't even realize it's slipping by. We do not stop. We do not reflect on it. We do not experience it. We do not enter into it with the passion, with the intensity, with the fervor that it deserves. We do not, in the words of Scripture, redeem the time. And we act like we have it forever. Forever. Most people I know are not alive. I mean, have you ever had the feeling that when you're talking to somebody, the person is absent? I mean, most people are absent when they're present. Do you get that feeling? Most people are just absolutely dead. I mean, that's why I mess around on elevators so much. I mean, not only do I get on elevators and not turn and face the door like you're supposed to, and I don't. I like to just stand there and smile at people, because they're all dead. On elevators, they're all dead. They're all standing there looking at the numbers. You know, you get on, just stand there and smile. Blows them away every time. But I got a new twist. Here's a new twist. If that doesn't shake them up, get off the elevator on the second floor. Now, you got to be in good shape to do this. Run to the stairway and run up to the fourth floor and be there when the elevator arrives. And when the door opens, just stand there and say, you were talking about me, weren't you? It blows them away. Blows them away every time. There just is so much deadness out there. I mean, you got to do something to shake up the troops, because everybody's kind of going through life zombie-like, zonked. I mean, and that's the good news of the gospel. That if Jesus can do anything for you here and now, he can do this. He can wake you up. That's it. You see, I'm not only talking about what Jesus did 2,000 years ago on the cross. I'm not only going to talk to you about what Jesus will do for you when you stand before him in judgment day. I've already said that to you as quickly as I can. But I want to tell you what Jesus, the resurrected Jesus who is here and now, can do this very moment for you. He can invade your life and create within you an awakened awareness of life. He can open your eyes to things. I beseech you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, with your eyes wide open to the mercies of God, because most people are not awake. If I had it to do over again, these old people said, we would reflect more. We would reflect more. But they didn't understand this. that if they did do it over again, they'd probably do it exactly the same way unless they were surrendered to Christ. Because it is Christ's presence within us that equips us to enter life with passion. Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He came to equip you, to empower you, to enthuse you so that you can live moments with a sense of joy and ecstasy and aliveness that cause other people to stand amazed. Because most of the people in the
You're listening to Dr. Tony Campolo in his classic message, If I Had It to Do Over Again. This is a recording that was taken when he gave that message back in 2000. January of 2000. But, you know, it's one of those classic messages that has a timelessness to it and a timeliness to it. And he's talking about reflecting more and really extracting the marrow out of life. Do you do that? When we come back from our break, we'll hear more from Dr. Campolo. But gosh, when was the last time you were able to take a moment out of time? Treasure it, cherish it for all eternity because you took the most out of that moment, lived life. Well, you know, today can be a day where you can do just that. Something special for yourself and with your family. Stay with us. We'll be back with more from Dr. Campolo.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Sometimes I think we just live our lives day after day after day and we don't realize the opportunities that we have to live better lives. I mean, I like the words from the Dead Poets Society, and Robin Williams plays that character of that teacher in that Eastern prep school there. And he says, extracting carpe diem, that Latin term to speaking really of seize the day, seize the moment, extract the marrow out of life. There is so much richness to it. Well, Dr. Tony Campolo, in this message, if I had it to do over again, he talks about just that. And, it, you know, some messages just make you better when you hear them, and stuff happens on the inside of you. If you're joining in right now and listening to the Good Life Hawaii radio show, we're listening to Dr. Tony Campolo. He's a sociologist professor. Now he's a professor emeritus at Eastern University. But this is a message that he delivered in 2000. And we're listening to that. If you want to hear the message in its entirety, you can go ahead and listen to it at thegoodlifehawaii.org. We'll have it available for you. But take it in now. A program like this is made possible from people like Chinenenare Naga Financial Group, along with Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited. Listen, enjoy, take it all in.
That equips us to enter life with passion. Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He came to equip you, to empower you, to enthuse you so that you can live moments with a sense of joy and ecstasy and aliveness that cause other people to stand amazed. Because most of the people in this world can be divided into two categories, the bored and the boring. It's Jesus. It's Jesus who takes you who were dead in trespasses of sin and makes you alive. These old people said, if I had it to do over again, I would reflect more. They would reflect more on Jesus. They would reflect more on their own lives. Here, listen to this. They would reflect more on their families. I don't know how many of you have seen the play Our Town. I'll bet most of you have, because every high school does. Thornton Wilder's play Our Town, whether you like it or not. One year they do Sound of Music, and the next year they do Our Town. And in the play, Emily, who is the main character, dies giving birth to a child. And in the afterlife, she is allowed by the spirits to return and relive one day of her life. And she chooses her 12th birthday. She goes back and she watches herself and her family live out that day. They warned her not to do it, but she does it. And then she understands why they told her not to do it. Because as she watches herself and her family live out there that day, she is shocked by the fact that they do not enter into these experiences with sufficient appreciation and awareness of how precious the moment is. She yells at her family, who of course cannot hear her. She yells at herself, even though she cannot hear herself, and says, don't you understand? Don't you understand you won't have this moment forever? Don't you understand that? And then she yells at the audience, Do any of you ever really live life when you're alive? There's a good question. Do any of you ever really live life when you're alive? These old people at the age of 95 realized that most of their lives were lives that were not lived. I'll tell you what this Christian bag is all about. It's not simply about pie in the sky when you die. It's about being possessed by one who opens your eyes, who enlivens you to appreciate husband and wife and children, to take the moment, to take the person preciously. You know, I'm amazed, for instance, as I talk to kids. Kids scare me. Because I go to these youth retreats. Have you ever been to these youth retreats? You look like you've been on youth retreats. You look like you've been retreated to death. You know, I can just tell, you know. Get on top of a mountain, sing 50,000 verses of Kumbaya, you've been in it. You know, I mean, I've been through all that. And these kids all get very spiritual up there. You know, they always cry because the speaker gives the same talk. Every youth speaker gives this talk at a youth retreat. Young people, it's easy to live the Christian life when we're up here on the... But on Monday morning, you're going to be down there in the... Oh, you heard the same talk. And then to get you to cry, he always lays this on you. Are you ready? This is the cry line. You know, kids, this is the last time we're ever going to be together like this. And everybody cries. And they all promise God that they're going to be different. They're going to walk for Jesus. They're going to read their Bibles. They're going to pray. Everybody comes down from the mountaintop psyched on Jesus. It doesn't last. And let me tell you what the biggest problem is. I find that most kids can get very spiritual, very high, very into witnessing, very into the whole bag. And they appear to be spiritual, but I know they're not spiritual. I know that Jesus has not changed them because of the way in which they talk to their parents. I wonder how many of you young people talk to your fathers, talk to your mothers in ways that hurt and bring pain. I would dare say you may not be guilty of fornication and you may not lie and you may not cheat, but there are few sins that are equal to this one. Stabbing the heart out of your mother. Stabbing the heart out of your father. All I ask you to do with your nasty little remarks is to stand back in the name of Jesus and reflect and understand and meditate upon what you've done, and it'll drive you to repentance. If we had it to do over again, these old people said, we would reflect more. We would consider deeply what we were doing and how it would affect people. Second thing, we would risk more. Now, I can buy into that. I'm into risk. You can kind of tell. I live in Philadelphia, and every time you leave the house, it's a risk. I got robbed once in Philadelphia, and as the guys were walking away, a guy turned back and he said, "Hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I want you to have your wallet." He gave me back the wallet. That's nice, Philadelphia. "All I want is your money." How kind. And then he looked at the money. He said, "You only have $3. I mean, I have to apologize because I don't have more money for him to steal. $3 lousy dollars. He said, "What do you do for a living?" I said, I'm a Baptist preacher. He said, "No kidding." He said, "I'm a Baptist too." You know, and he did not see the humor of it. Risk taking. On the streets of Philadelphia, we had a game. We used to play stickball. I mean, do they play stickball around here? I mean, you don't look like you would play stickball. You look like you're a little league group. You know, with parents in uniforms and umpires and parents, the whole catastrophe. We were into stickball, which can be played with anything from 2 to 1,000 players. You get a broomstick and you try to hit a half of a tennis ball with a broomstick. It's a wonderful game, and you play it in the middle of the street, and you block traffic, and you're making a lot of noise, which means that the police always come and chase you, which is okay by me, but they would always take the broomsticks. And one day, I woke up to the fact that there wasn't a single broomstick anywhere around. Every broomstick in the neighborhood had been gone. Every broom that any mother owned had been raptured. Everything was banished, and we were left without any broomsticks, and we were sitting on this curb, and I said, "You know, somebody ought to go into that police station at 55th and Pine and get into that back room where the cops put all the stuff they take from us. Somebody ought to go into that police station and steal 5 of those broomsticks back." I shouldn't have said that, because in a city street, they always look at you when you say somebody ought to do that and say what? "I dare you." When Mush, my best boyfriend, said, "I dare you," I felt my back tighten. I mean, kind of like a Pavlovian dog, I'm conditioned to react when anybody says, "I dare." I can't resist the dare. I said, "Okay, you guys, you get in there, you keep the cops entertained. Pretend you have to do a term paper or something. Ask them questions, take notes, and while you've got them involved, I will get in the back room of that police station, and I will come out with 5 sticks, or I won't come out at all." And I went back, and I got the 5 sticks, and I crawled out of that police station without being detected. Ladies and gentlemen, the name Tony Campolo is still legend in West Philadelphia. I mean, the guy who robbed the police station is standing before you, ladies and gentlemen. I want to tell you, you look like a group of people that are wealthy enough to go to Disneyland or Adventureland or Five Flags over Texas or whatever you got. But I want to tell you something. You can go on the highest roller coaster in this world and zip down into Never Never Land. But there is no exhilaration. There is no aliveness. There is no hyper sense of thrill like robbing a police station. I was a high for about 3 months, man. I just did not come down. The adrenaline was pumped in so high. Risk taking. I mean, isn't it true that the most exciting thing is to take a risk? You know, that's great. These old people say, we would risk more. They didn't talk about success. They didn't talk about failure. Because when you're 95 years of age, you know that a lot of things that you thought were such great successes aren't such big deals after all. And a lot of the things that you thought were failures didn't turn out so bad in retrospect. And as you look back over life, the thing that impressed these people most was this. Risk. Risk was what it was all about. Please understand, you can't have friends if you don't take risks. Right? I mean, at the college, I teach at Eastern College. And inevitably, some kid comes in and sits down in my office and starts crying. Typical college cry. Doctor, this is supposed to be a Christian college. This is supposed to be a Christian college, and I'm lonely. Nobody cares for me. Nobody loves me. Nobody's my friend. I find myself alienated. What are you going to say? I feel like saying, tush, tush, tush. Please, I am not questioning the kid's loneliness. I am sure that he is estranged. I am sure that he is alienated. I'm sure he has no friends. But he has no friends not because there aren't people around who would love his friendship. He is lonely not because there aren't people around who need him as somebody who cares. He is lonely for a simple reason. He's afraid to take the risk. And the risk is what? Rejection.
Dr. Tony Campolo is speaking in a way that really is unique to him, in a way only he can, talking about some real touchy issues about life. Now he's talking about risk-taking and how important it is. You know, so many times we live our lives and we just play it safe and we don't risk and we don't build relationships. We don't establish new relationships. We don't deepen relationships because we're afraid to take risks and the things or the hurt or the things that can take place if we were to do it. Taking risks, so we don't take advantage of opportunities that we have right in front of us because we don't want to take risks. Well, he's encouraging us to step out in faith. Really, it's a word that comes from the Spirit of the Lord, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. When you step out in faith, God takes you to new levels in your life. Would you do it? I think today is the day to take that inspiration and make the most of it. We'll be back with more from Dr. Tony Campolo in this classic message. Stay with us. We'll be back with much more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Aloha, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible in large part through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Winward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Shinetta Narinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, and Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become a corporate sponsor, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe.
Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com, Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Can we actually learn something from people who are 95 years and older? Dr. Campolo got this sociological study of 50 people, 95 years and older, and the question was asked to them was, if you had it to do over again, what would you do differently? And in this message, If I Had It to Do Over Again, Dr. Tony Campolo, Professor Emeritus at Eastern University in St. David's, Pennsylvania, tells what these seasoned veterans of life actually say. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. We're presenting a special pre-taped, pre-recorded January 1st of 2000, this message by Dr. Tony Campolo. I do want to remind you, if you want to hear the rest of the show or hear the program in its entirety, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. Another heads up just for you as we move forward into this season of our holiday season in life. Well, I have a new book coming out. It's called Winner's Edge. It's a special collection of my quotes, inspirations, insights that I've collected over the years, and it's going to be made available for you. So it's a book entitled Winner's Edge. It will be a great gift to give to a loved one and friend, a great way to reach out to somebody and really bless them during this time. It's a good gift now and a good gift anytime. The book, Winner's Edge. Now, here's more from Dr. Tony Campolo.
Sure, he has no friends, but he has no friends not because there aren't people around who would love his friendship. He is lonely not because there aren't people around who need him as somebody who cares. He is lonely for a simple reason. He's afraid to take the risk. And the risk is what? Rejection. Is afraid of rejection. Now, if you're afraid of being rejected, you will never have a friend. I know what you're going to say. You speakers are all egomaniacs. You don't ever have to worry about being rejected. You're right. But you don't understand. If you know who you are, you can't understand yourself as a loser. Stop to consider that fact. Are you ready? You, Kenneth. Kenneth, I want you to get this. You, young man, you were once a sperm. Did you ever stop to think about that? Not only, get this, not only were you a sperm, but you were once one, are you ready? One of 5 million sperm. And you all lined up at the starting line. And at the end of this long, long tunnel, there was one egg. And there was a race. And you won. Hey, man, I don't want to say anything obnoxious. I just want to say, compared to the Olympics, what you pulled off was even more fantastic. You make the Olympics look like nothing, baby. 5 million to 1, and you came through, baby! You are a winner! Let me just say, you wouldn't even be here if you weren't a winner. God wills for you to be here. You're not an accident. You are here by divine design. Have you got that? You are. So don't ever tell me that kind of stuff. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. You are special. You are special. You exist by divine appointment. Please don't ever consider yourself worthless. I remember when I was at Eastern College as a student, one of my professors, Dr. Ingalls, came in one day and said, Mr. Campolo, would you lead in prayer? And I started praying, Dear God, we thank you for this day. You know how you do. For this school and for all thy blessings. We thank you most of all for your salvation, that you died for one like me, so worthless. And he said, Just a minute! In the middle of the prayer, the guy yelled, Just a minute! You know, everybody looked up. Mr. Campolo, you are not worthless. You used the wrong word. You're unworthy. You're not worthless, unworthy. You may continue the prayer. Somehow that took the edge off of it for me. You know what I mean? But people, that's it. You may be unworthy, but you're not worthless. Jesus loves you so much, he would have gone to Calvary all over again just for you. And once you know who you are and what you are in the eyes of God, you can take risks. What if they do reject you? They're rejecting an heir of God. They're rejecting somebody who is here by divine appointment. They're rejecting somebody for whom the Son of God gave his life. That's who they're rejecting. Boy, that gives you confidence. Now, marriage is depending on risk, right? You don't get married unless you're a risk taker. Did you know that? Because you've got to take some risks somewhere down the line here, right? It's a big risk. I mean, I'll tell you that your mother's going to tell you before you get married. Are you sure? I mean, mothers give you such a stupid question. Are you sure? And you always say, I'm sure. Because you're supposed to be sure, right? There's not supposed to be any risk. You say, Mom, how will I know when I'm in love with the right one? And every mother in America, when you ask, how will I know I'm in love with the right one, will say, when you're in love with the right one, your mother too, right? Every mother in America gives you this. It's absolute certainty. See, it's sureness. It's a risk. You're going to be... You there, Kenneth. Are you listening? You're going to be down here in the front of the church. And you're going to be saying to yourself, what am I doing here? How do I get out of this? And a voice from heaven will say, too late, sucker. And you'll look up that aisle. And this creature in a white gown with an evil look on her will be coming at you. That's what's going to happen to you. Do you understand that? Well, you guys, you understand that? Don't sweat it, man. Don't worry if you're not sure, because in the end, marriage is a risk. It's a risk. Every marriage is a risk. A wedding is only the beginning. Every wedding holds the possibility for a marriage. You can create a marriage, but you got to take the risk. You got to commit yourself. People who are afraid to take risks never get married, never have friends. In the final analysis, they never become Christians. Because the Christian lifestyle is a call to risk-taking. That's what I like about Abraham. I mean, he's my ultimate risk-taker. 94 years old. Got it? This guy wakes up one morning, 94 years old. Sarah! Can't say, yay! Sarah! I just had a dream. I just had a vision. Now, there's a new approach. What kind of vision? We're going to create a new people, a new humanity, a new future, a new epoch in human history. We're going to leave this behind and launch off into the unknown. We're going to risk everything for God. Poor old lady saying, how does this new humanity begin, Abe? Glad you asked, Sarah. And the old lady breaks up. She's dying laughing. And they named the baby what? Which means, you're a joke, kid. You're a joke. I mean, if you think the Kenneth is a bad name, try going through life with, you're a joke. And the next scene is Abraham and Sarah leaving the Ur of the Chaldees. Are you ready for this? In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, not knowing where they were going. Can't you see this old man going down the road? Probably with a walker. Where are you going, Abe? I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't know. Well, why are you leaving? Because God has given me a vision that I can do something great for him. Oh, people, how many of you are going to live out your lives in quiet desperation because you're afraid to take the risk? I wonder how many of you guys, how many of you women out there have jobs that you hate. You're going to get up tomorrow morning, and you're going to go to an office, you're going to go to a factory, and you're going to hate it. You're saying, well, you got to make a living. No, you don't have to make a living. You have to live. You say, you just can't walk out. Why not? The fact that you've shot 20 years of your life is no excuse for shooting the next 20. You say, wait a minute. Do you understand the risks that are involved? These old people are yelling what? If we had it to do over again, we would. How many of you have been tempted by God in the best sense? Tempted to leave security. Tempted to leave that secure situation where you have no joy, no gratification, where that boss is putting you down and making you feel like trash. And inside of you, you say, you know, I ought to junk all this, and I ought to launch out and do that great thing that God has called me to do. I ought to go to the mission field. You know, we always say to the young kids, you ought to go to the mission field. You middle-aged people ought to go to the mission field. Everybody ought to go to the mission field unless they have a call to stay home. That's right. You say, you just can't go out and risk everything. And I mean, you're asking us to live dangerously. You got it. I love Nietzsche, even though he was an atheist, simply because he said, live dangerously. Build your cities under Vesuvius. Walk the tightrope. Ah, if Christianity is anything, it's a call to not play it safe. It's a call to live out the dreams and the visions that... You know, I'll never forgive this generation of young people, especially you guys in the front row, for being so disinterested that they don't have Star Trek on the air anymore. It's all your fault. I mean, I love Star Trek. I'm an old Trekkie. I mean, I loved it when the spaceship Enterprise would launch into outer space and the voice would come in and say, challenge to boldly go where...
I don't know about you, but if you've ever had a dream, gosh, this message really gets you thinking, have I really stepped out in faith to take steps to make it happen? In fact, you know what? We all have dreams. We all have desires. God has given us that capacity in our lives, and it's really a gift. I think some people, sometimes they just let these dreams, they put them on the side, and therefore their lives are lives of seemingly quiet desperation. But it doesn't always have to be that way. It doesn't have to continue on that way. Christ can give you the strength and the boldness and the courage that you need. That your life today can be a better life. Not only for eternity, but now, and a blessing to others. And as you bless others, you yourself will be blessed. We're going to be back with more from this special classic message from Dr. Tony Campolo. You're going to get a lot more out of it. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A firsthand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org and remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of The Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
You just take the time to crystallize your thoughts and your emotions and say, you know what, I'm going to step out in faith right now. Well, this message by Dr. Tony Campolo will help you do it. Your life can get better. Your life will get better. Listen, and I'll be back with some closing remarks.
Overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest thou also be tempted. It's so nice to see it written. The difference is that Barnabas lived it out. Barnabas was the guy who, when John Mark was shattered and beaten and battered, said, hey, fella, you come with me. And we wouldn't have the book of Mark if it wasn't for Barnabas. When he died, there wasn't a great set of titles. He wrote no books. His name is on no great church. First Barnabas Baptist Church. Yep. Right? But this is what they had to say about Barnabas. Listen to this verse of Scripture. He was a good man, a kind man, a just man, and because of him, many were won unto the kingdom. Ooh. I have a feeling when they laid old Barnabas low in the grave, there are a lot of people standing around, not talking about what he accomplished here and what he accomplished there and the great church that he built in this place and the great institution he had founded in that situation. I think they were all standing around saying, let me tell you what Barnabas did for me personally and individually. You know, to do great things that live on after you're dead, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to do something spectacular. I know about a teacher named Thompson, Miss Thompson. The first day of class came, and they were all there, and the teacher gave the speech that teachers always give. I love you all the same. You're all very special to me. I have no favorites. Teachers lie. Of course they have favorites. Not only do they have favorites, but there are other kids they can't stand. Right? Teddy Stollard was a boy she couldn't stand. He had a musty smell about him. His hair was always disheveled. His clothes were unkempt. What was worse is he always seemed to stare into nothingness. There was a blank expression to his face. His eyes were unfocused. And his mouth hung open, almost like there was something wrong with him. And when she asked him questions, he always answered in monosyllables of, yeah, no. When she marked his paper, she got a certain perverse delight out of putting X's next to the wrong answers. And when she put the F at the top of the paper, she did it with a flair. And she should have known better. She had his records. Teachers have records. First grade. Teddy is a good boy. Shows promise in work and attitude, but poor home situation. Second grade. Teddy is a good boy. Works hard, but is deeply troubled. Mother is terminally ill. Third grade, Teddy is too serious, too morose, deeply troubled, falling behind. His mother died this year. His father shows no interest. Fourth grade, Teddy is a deeply troubled boy and may flunk unless something happens. She had the records. Christmas came and all the children brought their presents and piled them on the desk. Teddy brought a present. She was surprised that Teddy would even bring a present. It was wrapped in brown paper and held together with scotch tape. And when she tore open the paper, out fell a rhinestone bracelet with half the stones missing and a bottle of cheap perfume that was half used up. The children began to giggle. But my friend, Miss Thompson, had enough sense to snap on the bracelet, put some perfume on the other wrist, and hold it up for the other children to smell. Taking the cue from the teacher, they all agreed that it was lovely. At the end of the day, when all the other children had left, Teddy remained behind. He came over to the desk and said, "Miss Thompson, Miss Thompson, you smell just like my mother. And her bracelet looks real nice on you, too. I'm glad you liked my presence." And when she left, my friend Miss Thompson got down on her knees and she prayed for God's forgiveness. And the next day, when the children came into that class, she was a new teacher. She wasn't just a teacher who was going to impart information. She was somebody who was going to make a difference in the lives of children, a difference that would live on after she was dead. And she gave special attention to the children who were slow, particularly to Teddy Stollard. And she tutored him extra. And by the end of the year, he had caught up with most of the students and was ahead of some. Several years later, she got this note. "Dear Miss Thompson, I am graduating second in my class, and I wanted you to be the first to know. Love, Teddy Stollard." 4 years later, "Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me that I will be graduating first in my class. I wanted you to be the first to know. The university has not been easy, but I liked it. Love, Teddy Stollard." 4 years later, "Dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I am Theodore J. Stollard, M.D. How about that? I'm going to be married in July, the 27th to be exact. I want you to come, and I want you to sit where my mother would have sat. You're the only family I have now. Daddy died last year, and she went, and she sat where Mrs. Stollard would have sat. And she deserved it because she had done something with her life that would live on after she was dead. There's a little plaque that hung in my mother's room that read like this: Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Jesus will last." And these old people said, "If we had it to do over again, we would reflect more. We would risk more. We would do more things that would live on after we were dead." Now, people, if you can't learn from 50 old folks over the age of 95, then you can't learn from anybody at all. God bless you.
That's a message from Dr. Tony Campolo. If I had it to do over again. Well, you can hear the whole show, the whole message at thegoodlifehawaii.org. Get other resources there on our website, thegoodlifehawaii.org. Here's a scripture for today, Ephesians 5:16, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest today, my recording, Dr. Tony Campolo. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.